Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present...
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Yeah, we are back, and MG, can you believe this? We are headed to round nine.
Yes. Oh, it flies through once we get started.
Round nine.
Amazing. And the footy's starting to really be a little bit different because we're seeing some blowouts that we didn't see earlier on in the season. So I'm not sure what to put that down to, but you can bet your bottom dollar that different interpretations of different rules are being exploited.
Yeah, we're going to have a look at some big stories going on in the world of rugby league right now. The top two teams in the comp are undeniable, and I do want to revisit the issue of whether or not this is just a two-team competition now for the remainder of the season. We'll, of course, give you your tips around nine as well as some bold predictions for the week ahead. Justin Olam went one try short of me going back-to-back with bold predictions.
You didn't need to
hook Xavier Coates up so much. Just be a bit more selfish, Justin.
Yeah, I know that's on a roll.
Yeah, but we'll get to all that. Of course, we've got it. Wayne Bennett's at it again. He as the chase for Munster heats up, he's throwing around other names and potential signings for the Dolphins. We'll touch on those as well. And Reece Walsh, a man who seemingly won't be headed to the Dolphins, MJ. I want to get your thoughts on that. But we need to look back at round eight, and we start with your plays of the week.
Let's go!
MG.
That is massive.
Plays of the week.
Well, the team in the spotlight for most of this week have been the Newcastle Knights for all the wrong reasons. And you knew something was amiss from the Knights when they kicked off and the ball went into touch. Xavier Coates extended his leg, caught the ball, kick out on the full. 26-0, all of a sudden it was to Melbourne Storm over the Knights. And then all of a sudden at half time, and this is where I'm worried if I'm a Newcastle fan, because it was a penalty right at half time. And I would expect any other team to take a kick for touch, put the ball up in the air and try and go for 4 points to show some intent. But what it done, taking a goal kick at 26-0 down is taking the piss. It's putting the white flag up, and it's saying to me that Newcastle thought they had no chance whatsoever of even coming back in the slightest. They just wanted to get some points on the board so they weren't nil. And this is how it went down.
Could be more points.
No,
not a penalty. Oh, geez. You're down 26-0. There's 7 seconds to go. You just about got to go for goal. I mean, I know it's extraordinary, but what else are you going to do?
Up, Andrew. Go for goal.
Well, what are you going to do? There's half-time siren. What are you going to do?
What are they going to do with
they're
the 2 points?
They are not. They're going for goal.
That's and a lose-lose situation for the Knights, though, MG.
Well, it was a lose-lose situation, but just put it in, like, if I'm a fan there, and look, the fans cheered like it was, they put them in front in the game because they wanted something. But then after going to the halftime oranges, having 15 minutes to talk about what's going on and lament what the first half brought us, Melbourne Storm kicked off and three Newcastle Knights watched the ball go dead. I went, oh, my goodness. And then after the game, that was the car crash interview that most people are giving it to Kalen Ponga about, which I'm cutting him some slack. He basically didn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do either. You know, he's the marquee player. He's been in the headlines for the wrong reasons for the last 5 weeks. I'm going to cut him some slack and say, well, you know what, when the microphone's thrust upon you and a reporter says to you, what are you going to do to fix this? And what are you going to say to your players? The answer was, I don't know. And I think I would have said the same thing. So, look, it's been a week from hell from Newcastle, who it doesn't get any better or easier this week, because they go to North Queensland. To try and take on the rampaging Cowboys.
I will say, MG, I agree with you on Kalen Ponga. I don't think Kalen Ponga is an outstanding media performer. What we saw there was the captain of the side being incredibly honest about the performance. Now, Kalen Ponga is not entirely responsible for that performance. He has a degree of responsibility. But I don't have a problem with the car crash interview. Like, if he'd been polished and clean and precise, I would have been worried because I'm like, you just had your pants pulled down. But yeah. I will say this for Knights fans out there. You've got a tough game this weekend. But then you've got three games heading into the round 13 bye, where you take on the Bulldogs, the Broncos and the Warriors. Now, that is where I think we'll get a real gauge about this Knights outfit. Three winnable games against teams that they would want to be competitive at the least against heading into the bye. So that's the three-week window I think we should be judging the Knights around.
Yeah, and this is after they won their first two games and everyone's saying, wow, look at Clifford and Clune, what a combination. Clifford was winning the Dally M's, and on two man of the match performances, and now he's not even in first grade. So, yeah, look, a big week for the Knights. I hope they can bounce back. Number two on my list, which I caught my eye, obviously this was also the most spoken about, was way back earlier in the last week, was the send-off. Carl Lawton, when he upended Cam Murray.
Murray threatens to pass. Oh, upended!
Hold on. I think he's in trouble here, Lawton. Oh, that's dangerous. He'd be lucky to stay on the field.
It's just momentum. No one's hurt. Everyone's okay.
I'm with you, Bucky.
Settle down.
Just goes up and over.
Well, beyond the horizontal, so obviously at a minimum, it's a penalty.
There you go.
God! Sent from the field.
Yeah. I didn't think at any stage, Carl Lawton, that deserved a send-off.
It's a little bit of a flip, but to be sent off for that, when there's absolutely no injury to the other player, I find that extraordinary.
Very contrasting commentary there, and from Fox and Nine, and well done, Charlie, on mashing them up together. My first reaction was he's off. I think there's one thing we don't compromise in our game, and that's the safety of the player who has the ball in a compromising position. And that was exactly what Cam Murray was. He didn't get injured, but he was within 2 inches of breaking his neck. That tackle is something that we outlawed years and years ago. For good reason, because if you watch games in the 70s, that would have been a good tackle. If you watch games in the 80s, it was starting to get outlawed. In the 90s, it was completely gone. And I want it completely gone forever, because it's not one of them things that we see every day. Carl Lawton was apologetic, and he's accepted his four-week ban. So move on. I just find it really intriguing, the different commentary from both Fox and then Nine, and what game they're both watching.
I think Gus Gould is one of the great thinkers of the sport, MG, and you've testified to this when you talk about the way he led you guys to a premiership with the Panthers and everything he's done for New South Wales. But I think he couldn't be further from right in his assessment of that. It's not about whether Cam Murray's okay after the tackle or not.
No, no.
The game has seen the worst-case scenario with tackles like this with Alex McKinnon. We have seen the worst-case scenarios, and if it means punishing tackles like this where there is no injury incurred, I've got no problem with that, because we never want to see what happened to Alex McKinnon ever again on a rugby league field. So outcomes are relevant in tackles like that.
Yeah, and well done, Carl Lawton. You handled it well, to be honest. You held it. He was in tears when he left the field, and he handled the media well after it, and he said, I'll take my 4 weeks and I won't be doing that again. So well done. We're talking about the great man, Gus Gould. Wow, what a week the Dogs had. earlier in the week, we found out that Gus had taken the whistle off Trent Barrett. He was walking out on the field.
No, he was handed the whistle by Trent Barrett, MJ. Let's not present the other side of it. I'm talking to
my man at the ground, who said that he took it off him, and he's walked out in his jeans. He's coaching in denim. And whatever he's done, whatever he has done to the nth degree, because in Gus we trust. The man is inspiring at the best of times. When I was coached by him, he was unbelievable. Some of the speeches mid game or you know post or pre game were fantastic, but he had a really funny way or a great way of showing exactly what he means. And I think Trent Barrett's handled it really well. I think he has handled this really well the last week or so. They've had a great win. This is what Gus had to say on 100% Footy about exactly who was coaching the Doggies this week.
Well, I do know that Trent Barrett coached the team this week. Trent Barrett will be the coach of the Bulldogs long after I'm gone. He's going to be a long-term coach for the club.
I don't think it's a bad thing
and
at all.
And all the stuff that was misrepresented and misspoken about, and most of it so childish and agenda-driven and personal grievances, I've been dealing with pretty much for the most part of my career. And it doesn't affect me, and I don't worry about it, and I laugh in their face with it.
He does, because he had the last result, and it's obviously the Herald versus the Telegraph, it's Foxtel versus Channel 9, and it's kind of like the off-field battle we see week to week that not many people talk about, but it's there.
That war, and we don't want to drag ourselves into it, but that war between those two sides of the fence, it's never been more pronounced. Like it's very distinct now.
It's getting to a crescendo. You think something's bubbling away that, you know, you watch NRL 360 and you see how much disdain they have for Phil Gould.
Yeah.
You hear Gus's comments then about, he's obviously talking about the guys from Fox. And
yeah, of course he is.
Look, to be honest, I quite like it. If I like players going at each other, why not media figures going at each other as well? I as long as no one gets hurt, there are any words, as long as they don't get hurt. So
you kind of used to look at at reporters and think, oh, well, they're just reporting. But now I think it's more different. And more you can start to see, well, you're on that side of the fence and you're on that side of the fence. And just quickly on Gus taking charge. Firstly, you're saying he wore denim ahead of the game against
jeans.
The...
Yep. He had his jeans on, yeah.
Well, this week he needs to rock out in double denim. He needs to roll the jeans and the jacket, the denim jacket, I think.
I think one further. I think he's got to have the, like the cut-off jeans.
Yeah. Oh.
with a pair of like Crocs or something, just walking out.
If Gus Gould is ever spotted in cut-off denim jeans, I think that'll spell the end of rugby league. Look, they've got another winnable game this week against the Raiders. The Raiders,
very much so.
The game out at Redcliffe last weekend I know the Tigers Titans game earlier this season was bad, but that Raiders Warriors game was a dog's breakfast as well. Quite frankly, but. The upside for my bold prediction for the season is Trent Barrett winning games. No coach fired. I'm saying it. We're coming up to round 9, MG. Still no coach fired.
And you can eliminate Ricky Stewart. He won't be. The only one in the firing line at the moment is Adam O'Brien. I don't think he will be fired. I think you're right. I think that bold prediction of yours, and I'm hoping you're right. Because too often, we spoke about this a couple of years ago on the Rush Hour, that we're sick of seeing the merry-go-round of coaches. We're sick of seeing this blaming of the bloke with the clipboard when, obviously he has some and a lot of the way that, a lot of input in the way the players play and the way the result is handled. But players these days aren't accountable enough. But they seem but their salaries keep rising. So we don't want to be like the NBA when, the players are on a million times more than the coach. And basically he's just a figure. That's what we don't want in rugby league.
If a coach is 100% responsible for every signing at the club,
true,
and they're still losing,
yep,
fine.
Yep.
Pack his bag, send him on his way. Because then it is on the coach. He's picked the players, he's picked the squad, he's picked the style of play. But that doesn't happen. There's no coach in the comp that has that level of autonomy, except maybe the master, Wayne. But he's not even coaching this year. Anyway.
Well, he actually is. He's probably having his best season ever because what he's doing behind the scenes.
He's never been more in the news.
I know. He loves
amazing.
It. He's the best.
He's amazing. Right. Okay. Good plays of the week, MG. Very nice. I think.
Thank you, my man.
We could just keep unpacking stories from last week, but we've got to look forward because there's footy to get to. And speaking of that man, Wayne Bennett and the Dolphins, the incoming new franchise to rugby league, the big thing that is hanging over this club is a marquee player. They didn't get Ponga. They didn't get Brandon Smith. And now the big conversation is around Cam Munster. But the reports are that the Storm are going to come back to Munster with a new offer.
And reports today are that he will extend his deal, Craig Bellamy.
Bellamy's going to extend his deal?
If you bet your bottom dollar, if Craig Bellamy extends his deal, then all the shift goes towards Melbourne and Munster staying there.
And yeah, so this was meant to be not meant to be. The suggestion was this was going to be his last year in charge of the Storm. And you would say that with the money he was being offered, not that it's bad money, but it's less than he's been on, the money he was being offered plus Bellamy winding up, all roads led to the Dolphins for Cam Munster.
Yeah.
If Craig Bellamy extends and if the offer improves, I think it's a complete 180 and all roads lead back to Melbourne. With those two factors, MG, do you see him leaving the Storm?
No, I don't. I don't. Depends how much the difference is in wages. I mean, if he could be the king of Queensland, and he's not getting any younger. He's closer to 30 than 25. So the fact that he can earn so much money as the marquee player of the new franchise, I think would be appealing. But also, if you're still of a competitive nature, you know that this new team isn't going to be successful for at least 3 or 4 years. There's only one Melbourne Storm in the last 50 years, and they were successful from the get-go. I don't see them being the same type of model as Melbourne Storm, the Dolphins. I do think they'll be successful eventually. But Melbourne were kind of that really big difference because all of a sudden we had a team in Melbourne, and they were so out of sight, out of mind, that no one even paid attention to them.
Mm.
Well, that's the opposite with the Dolphins. Every step they're making, it's being monitored by a litany of people and supporters. So I think that they're going to take a while. If he's still got that competitive juice running through him, and he still sees that Xavier Cosius extended, Jerome Hughes extended, Harry Grant extended. He knows there's the nucleus of a fantastic team. Pappenhausen extended. That's all you need. You can build the other forwards around you. Now, Tino's still there. Nelson's still there. I probably do believe that he'll stay with Melbourne if Bellamy does stay. I think they'll make him an attractive offer. They'll have to cut some threads in other places that they probably didn't expect to cut, but they're Melbourne. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing this morning that the Dolphins are linked to Stephen Crichton from Penrith.
Oh, well,
because
okay,
Penrith have a conundrum.
Let's talk about the Penrith conundrum with the Dolphins.
Well, it's Isaac Tago. They've got Taylan May. They've got Brian To'o. They've got
Staines.
Stephen Crichton, all off contract at the end of next year or this year. Whatever it is, that Crichton can start talking to the Dolphins November 1. So I'm hearing that they want to sign someone as a marquee, and he's on about 750 at Penrith at the moment in the centres. He could get 1.2 to go fullback for the Dolphins. I'm hearing that Dane Laurie hasn't been signed from the Tigers as yet either. Hasn't been afforded an extension. All of a sudden, Dane Laurie looks attractive to the Dolphins. I mean, every player that's either been balking at signing an extension, or the club's been balking at signing them for an extension, are linked to the Dolphins. Let's be honest.
Well, it's the Regan Campbell-Gillard model, where you use the Dolphins as leverage.
The RCG effect.
It's the RCG model. RCG, let's give the front row credit. It's very rare that we give props to props for being ahead of the curve. And Regan Campbell-Gillard, tipping our cap to you, sir, you were the first one, you and your management, you used the Dolphins. You know, the Dolphins have come in and are starting to wield some power and making life uncomfortable for other teams. Regan Campbell-Gillard and his management used the Dolphins to get the best possible deal out of the Parramatta Eels. And now it's the norm. Everybody's doing it. It's like Will Ferrell in Old School. We're going streaking through the quad. Everybody's doing it, MJ. But
get your gear off.
Just getting back quickly, I just want to wander through a couple more. We could get lost down the Dolphin rabbit hole, but just quickly. Stephen Crichton, Dane Laurie, Reece Walsh. If they're serious, all these players probably 2024 arrival potentials for Redcliffe or for the Dolphins.
That's amazing.
They're all fullbacks, right? Yep. You can't pay Stephen Crichton any more money to be a centre. You just can't.
No.
But rank those in terms of priority. Because with all due respect, I think you can put Dane Laurie last, with all due respect.
Oh, of course. Yesterday, Reece Walsh has come out and said he won't be going there.
He won't be leaving early. The point is he won't be going a year early, because for those that don't know, the Warriors currently based out of Redcliffe, and the thought was that maybe
the hometown
Dolphins could get him to just stay put, not move back to New Zealand for next season and just stick around. He said that won't be happening. At the very least, he'll be seeing out his contract, which runs to the end of 2023. He does have a player option for 2024, but they're not discussing that right now.
Yeah, I think Crichton's the catch. I think Crichton, because he can play 1, 2, 5, 3, or 4. He can play anywhere in the back line and the outside backs in the three quarters, as they used to call them. And again, I don't want to contemplate that, because he's been such a fantastic servant to the Panthers, and he still will be, you know, for this year and next year. But who knows? It's a funny game, isn't it? You know, Wayne Bennett has declared that he'll have a competitive team by, 1st of October. He's got to have 24 players that are signed to the club. I believe him. I don't think he'd undertake this mission if he didn't think he'd be successful.
With all due respect, and I know everyone keeps saying they need a marquee player. If you put the team on paper right now, it's not far off competitive. If you look at Tom Gilbert, the young forward they've just signed from the Cowboys, both Bromwich brothers, Kafusi. Who's the young buck they've pinched from the Panthers Academy? Katoa.
They
don't worry about competitiveness. And the bloke who's coaching them is Wayne Bennett. They will be competitive. And they certainly won't be any less competitive than some teams have been this season. You're talking about a Newcastle Knights outfit that just got pants 50-2. Don't worry about the Dolphins. They'll be fine. But the West Tigers, I mean, they, for everything that's going right,
they need to sign Dane Laurie. He's the spark. He has started this renaissance. They keep saying that it's Hastings, and I believe it is. But I think as soon as Hastings and Laurie were together, it was a double-edged sword of enthusiasm that kind of was infectious. And
well, he was their best player last season. He was their best player last season. And we pointed out right here on this, I think it might have even been on the inaugural episode of MG's Rugby League Rundown, that it was that press conference, albeit with the chewing gum, where he came out and basically told the media to get stuffed. He said, no, leave
us alone. Yeah.
We're unified. We're going to fight through this. And they have been. So they can't let Dane Laurie go. Question for you about Crichton. If the Panthers went back-to-back this year, would that make it easier for him to walk away or harder?
The first answer that came to mind was easier.
Because you've got two comps.
There's two comps in your pocket that no one can ever take off you. But then I think again, well, what if I want three in a row? What if I want to make a real big dynasty out of this club, which has a window that's open for the next 10 years? Who knows? Like, in all seriousness, this team could be the second best team since the Dragons of the 50s and 60s, who won 11 straight. Who knows what this team can do without putting too much pressure on them? Obviously, so win five, hey? So there's a team south of Sydney from Mexico that have a big saying in how good they'll go. So I know we're going to talk about this. It's a two-team comp at the moment, and looks like it is a two-team competition with the likes of the Cowboys or the Sharks or the Manly or South or the Roosters pulling off an upset here or there. But as far as consistency and as far as teams that you want to put your house on every week, it's only Penrith and Melbourne in this competition at the moment. No other team am I brave enough to be saying that, oh, they'll make the top four. Yep, they'll make the top eight. Because I don't know. There's the inconsistency level of every other club is so outstanding that it's very hard to get a gauge on them all.
All right, well, as we have a tendency to do, we've disappeared up the backside of the Panthers team. But that's all right. And then the best team in the comp, defending premiers, you have every right to. So
eight in a row, baby. Eight in a row.
Unfortunately, we do have to quickly touch on them ever so slightly just again. It's a Panthers Storm grand final, is it? Like, can you honestly see any other team getting close to these two?
No.
Well, that's the end of the conversation, unfortunately. I love what the Cowboys are doing. I love what the Cowboys are doing.
Sharks up for upset, Cowboys for an upset, Roosters on their day, Rabbitohs on their day, Manly now that Turbo's back. But outside of that, like, it's not continual. It's not every week. The only teams that I'd put my whole house on, as I just said, are Penrith and Melbourne.
And again, when you look at the best version of those other teams, the absolute best version of the Cowboys, I think we're seeing it the last couple of weeks. The absolute best version of the Sharks, I think we've kind of seen it.
The absolute best version of them other teams would beat maybe Penrith and Melbourne
on their worst
maybe
day.
Twice. Once at their best would be maybe twice out of five.
Yeah. But you just get the sense that, and you would know better than anyone, MG, that when you are playing like the Storm are, and like, well, certainly the Storm over the last decade, but like the Panthers have been over the last 2-3 years, those bad days become fewer and farther between, and it's just business. They just get out there and do the business.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They suffocate teams so easily.
Business time. All right. Speaking of business time, let's get into some tips. Because, okay. And bold predictions, whenever you come across your bold prediction for the round ahead.
Okay.
Starts on Thursday night. I love a bit of Thursday night footy. Rabbitohs taking on the Broncos. Tough game to tip. I don't think the Rabbitohs, this is a home game for them, but I don't think, the police have got them at $1.25.
Look, I think with Payne Haas and Capewell being ruled out, that kind of, with them in the team and with Reynolds coming back to play his old team for the first time, I gave them some chance. I don't give them any chance now that them two forwards are out there. They have been, every time the Broncos have won, it's been Payne Haas and Capewell out wide who have been their better forwards. And Adam Reynolds against his old club, he'll be out for an atonement, but will it come? I don't think so. I think the Rabbitohs will get this one.
All right. I'll just say this. I think you keep an eye out for number six for the Broncos in this game. I think Tyson Gamble will look to make a real nuisance of himself.
He's got that haircut, hasn't he? Something out of Mad Max.
We spoke to him on our show the other week, and he said, it's just the way I play football. I'm aggressive. I like to annoy the other team. It's the way I get the best out of myself. And I think that there might be a few players in this Souths team that might bite at a few Tyson Gamble. You know, I'm looking at you, Tommy Burgess. I'm looking at you, Jai Arrow. I think
Cody
there might
Walker.
Be Cody Walker. You know, this is a second rower in the body of a 5'8", and yep. I think he'll look to make the most of it.
I think you're right.
But I think the Rabbitohs should win. I'll say that. Raiders Bulldogs. Now, let's not call this the battle for the wooden spoon, but these are two teams down the bottom of the ladder. You've got them heading in different directions momentum-wise, though. The Raiders coming off that heartbreaking loss to the Warriors, and the Bulldogs with their tails well and truly in the air.
This, for mine, is the hardest game of the round to pick because Raiders don't look really good on paper at all. You bring back Croker, who has a lot for the first time, so their spirits are up. You hear that spirits are up and you go, okay, well, that's half the battle when your team are in cohesion. And when one of their most loved players of all time comes back, you say to yourself, well, that could be the impetus to get over the line. But as you say, Liam, this Doggies team are buoyed by some that infectious feeling of winning. If this game was played in Sydney, I would back the Bulldogs 8 times out of 10. The fact that it's in Canberra, I'm going the other way. I think Canberra will win this game in Canberra 7 times out of 10.
All right.
They've lost 5 in a row.
I think the Dogs keep rolling.
Okay.
I think momentum, enthusiasm, this is exactly what this group has been chasing, and now that they've got it, they'll look to hold on to it. Here's what I want to say quickly on this game as well, though. To all the people that, pardon my French, shit-canned the treatment of Kyle Flanagan about being brought in against the Panthers.
It's the same ones who are bagging young Jacob Arthur at Parramatta. It's the faceless trolls who I don't even know what we're talking about.
Look at what the club has done. Look at what the club has done. And Gus was bang on about this. They brought him in for round 5. They lost to the Panthers. Then they lost to the Bunnies. Then they lost to the Broncos. But they've kept with him.
Yep.
They've beaten the Roosters. And now he seems like the bloke who's going to stay there and has earned the right to stay there.
Persevere. Everyone's in a hurry to get somewhere. This is a marathon, this competition. You don't win competitions in May. Just let the kids be kids. And let the players play. Let the coaches coach. And just let's sit back and enjoy.
Yeah. I'm tipping the Dogs. I think they get up. Then we get to Friday night. Top 5 contest between the top of the ladder Panthers and the Parramatta Eels. I mean, Panthers by how much?
Well, they have made a change, as we just mentioned. Jacob Arthur has been dropped. Brown goes back to 5'8". Opacek comes straight back into the team after being injured. They've got 4 or 5 outside backs that are out still, Parramatta. So they have got some excuses for their recent inconsistencies. But well, they always seem to bring out the best in each other, these two teams, Penrith and Parramatta. This game sold out last Sunday, so six days out from the actual game.
It's going to be a
bell ringer. Penrith will win. I just don't know how much by. I think it could be the last time these two teams played. I think Mitchell Moses at Penrith Park, Bluebet Stadium, Mitchell Moses had a goal to kick it from halfway to win the game. I don't think that'll happen again. I think Penrith are on a roll, 8 in a row. This game against their local rivals will be a very tough encounter, and I think Penrith will prevail in the end by 12 points.
Right. Saturday, I'm with you, Panthers, get up. Saturday, first game, Manly West Tigers. Some big outs for both sides. The Seagulls lose Parker Saab and Carl Lawton. The Tigers lose Nofaluma and Luciano Leilua. But Tom Trbojevic does come back for Manly, Uto Ikemanu comes back for he's named off the bench, Stefano Uto Ikemanu for the Tigers, which is a big in. I don't think this one's as clear cut as I know it's at home for Manly. They're $1.20, but the West Tigers, you can't write them off as quickly as you could 3 weeks ago.
No, they're showing some spirit. I love the spirit they're showing. Ola Kawatu is back for the Manly side, but this is a fantastic moment for the Trbojevic family. And this is where my bold prediction comes in.
Here we go.
We have Jake, we have Tom, and now we have Ben
playing
in the centres. Yep, the first time the three of them have started a game together. What a proud moment for the Trbojevic family. And that is my bold prediction that the name Trbojevic will have 3 tries next to their names by the time this game is over.
Hold on. So 1 from each brother or just 3 by Trbojevic's?
Yes.
I mean, it feels like you've found something of a loophole in the bowl predictions.
Oh, well, the name from Vojvic will be in the try-scoring list three times this weekend. Do you want me to say
feels,
four?
Feels like a loophole. Feels like a loophole. I like it, though.
If it feels like a loophole, it probably is one.
I'm going to throw my bold prediction into this game as well, MG.
Okay.
I think the Tigers might win.
That is very, very bold.
I think the Tigers might win. With Tommy back. I know, but I mean, I think David Nofaluma and Luciano Alelu are two quite significant outs, and I should say that. And that's why it's a bold prediction. Yeah. But I love Utoi Kamanu. I know he's straight back from injury as well.
Yep, but he's another pain in the ass. He's straight back whenever he's ready.
Exactly. I like Jake Simpkin being back at hooker as well. I think they're playing for each other in a really positive way. So I'm going to – yep, I'm saying it. West Tigers beat Manly. Whew. Whew. I got tingles. 5:30 Roosters Titans. Jeez, the less we talk about my top four bound Titans, the better, frankly.
Well, this is a game that I didn't think we'd be speaking about after round eight, that one team had lost four in a row, the other team had lost two in a row. The Titans, for mine, I think the David Fifita circus has been troubling them. I just think it's kind of like the Ponga thing that went on for 5 weeks at Newcastle. Well, I think David Fifita being out will be a little bit of a blessing in disguise for the Titans, because I think he'll get a chance to sit on the sidelines and reevaluate exactly what this game means to him. And I think the Titans without him will be a better team on this particular game. I think while the distraction is gone, every man they're not prepared to supposed to win this game against the Roosters, who are, you know, lost two in a row, as I said, but I think they will. This is, you could say, this is my bold prediction.
There's another bold prediction.
Well, I think the Titans will win this game because I think it's four in a row they've lost. He's toyed with Fifita for so long, centre, second row, off the bench, starting, that, man, that must be so confusing. We all know how good he is. We all know what a weapon he is. The quicker they get him to lock forward, the better. The quicker they put Tino to front row, the better. The quicker that he's off an edge, the better, because he's not an edge player. The ball, you have to go to the ball. You can't wait for the ball to come to you when you're 115 kilos and you're as big as he is. And I'm afraid that's going to be the way that his football has to be played, because it's no longer under 10s against under 8s. It's first grade, where each week there's teams watching the tape saying that we've got to get this guy and this is how we get him. So, look, it's good. He's out for a month with a knee injury, and for both him and the team, it's probably a little blessing in disguise, as I said, because he'll get back and he'll sit back and he'll contemplate. And I think in that time, Holbrook's got to have that hard discussion with him, saying, mate, you're no longer an edge forward. You're in the middle and you play as long as you can. We're going to get you as fit as we can. But each week you just go until you can't, and then I'll bring you off, and then you go back on.
I love this prediction. I love this prediction. And just quickly, I know we've got to wrap things up, but do you think that for a young half like Toby Sexton, knowing it's almost like the, as you say, the absence of David Fifita, knowing I don't have to worry about getting the ball as quickly as possible to that $1 million bloke on the edge, might just allow him to steer the team properly?
They don't, because he doesn't want it. You've got to want the ball. He's standing out there with his hands on his hips going, please, as if to say to the ball, please don't come my way.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's carrying injuries, or he's not fit, and he's not at his devastating best. And I think, as I said, this little 3 or 4 weeks of a senior, what's a sonier? What's the when you have a rest?
Let's call it a holiday.
A senior?
Sojourn, I think is the word you're looking for. Yeah.
There we go. Sojourn. This 3 or 4 weeks sojourn.
I mean,
will be just what they're playing away from home, so there's no complacency. They're going to come down to play a team that's desperate as well in the Roosters. And remember last year, when those two played in that final with Herbert, that pass, just pass the ball, Herbert. Just pass the ball, and you're through to another final. So I think they should be confident against the Roosters, and I think they'll win.
What I love about you, MG, is that even though you struggle with English at times, you still like to, you know, roll with French words just to challenge yourself.
When that was coming up in that sentence, I thought of a word out and what it meant. I knew what it meant, but I didn't know how to say it. But I knew something meant like a little rest, and it was kind of French.
For anybody who's brand new to the dynamic between MG and myself, this is the essence of it. Always know what he means, and that's all that matters, right? Whether he gets the words right or not, I always know what he means. It's like when you're trying to explain things No, I won't use that analogy. MG might punch me. I was going to say it's like when you're trying to teach your dog how to do something.
No, you train a monkey how to do a trick. Just don't spray any aftershave on me.
Righto, let's rattle through the rest of round nine quick as we can. Cowboys, Knights, 3rd v 16th. Go, yeah. You cows.
Knights lost 6, Cowboys won 3. Cowboys, put your hand up if you thought they were going to come last this year. Me, my hand's up. They have been fantastic. Well done.
But what was the one thing you said that the Knights needed to do quickly?
Tex Hoy to 6.
Boom. Tex Hoy to partner Phoenix Crossland in the halves this week.
Yeah, I think so. I would like to have seen him partner Clifford. And I think Ponga and Hoy can swap and change a bit through the game.
Yep.
But look, Cowboys are the informed team along with Melbourne and Penrith in the competition.
Mm. All right. Then we get to Sunday. 2 games. Storm, Dragons. Ugh, this Storm outfit. I mean, what was it? What did they beat? The Warriors 70-10.
They scored 120 points. 120 points in 2 weeks they've scored. They're just a juggernaut.
So be realistic then. What is an acceptable, no one's tipping the Dragons, but what is an acceptable performance by the Dragons here? What should they be, they'll be setting themselves to win.
To get within 10. If they get within 10 of Melbourne, they've done an exceptional job. If they get within 20 of them, that's probably what we expect. It's probably about a 40 to 18 type scoreline we predict. Oh, like we would expect. But look, if they make this team, if this game 20-12, well, they've just about won the game.
Yeah, because don't be mistaken, the Dragons are going to be well and true. The Dragons seem like one of the teams that's going to be hunting one of those last spots in the 8 this year. They're only out of the 8 on 4 and against at the moment. So
1-3 in a row. So it's amazing how, and that kind of gives hope to Newcastle when teams like the Doggies and the Tigers and now the Dragons, who were all just spoken about a month ago in peril, they've all found their way out of the hole. And it's, so there's hope for Raiders and there's hope for Newcastle.
You just got to, it's like getting stuck in quicksand, MG. You just need to find the right, branch or vine to pull on and pull yourself out. Again, just quickly, I'm going to reiterate that point. The Knights, it's a tough game this weekend, sure. But then the three games after that leading into the bye, there is that light on the horizon. Mm. Last game of the round, Sharks, Warriors. This one's at the Sharkies' home ground. A chance for, with Dale Finucane coming back into the side, a real opportunity for the Sharks to just reassert that type of football they were playing before he went out injured.
I can make this simple for you. In one word, the Sharks.
Sharks will win. Jeez, the Warriors were so bad last week. Like, I know they snatched a win that they shouldn't have. Neither side really deserved to win that game. It wasn't a great game of football. But, look, the Warriors are still hanging around. They're only out of the 8 on 4 and against as well. So, right, just to recap bold predictions there. You said that,
the name Trbojevic will score 3 tries against the Tigers.
And I think you tipped the Titans to beat the Roosters.
And the Titans will win against the Roosters.
I am saying that the West Tigers will upset Manly and make it, how many wins on the trot? Oh no, they lost last week, didn't they?
They lost last week.
To the Dragons.
Manly have lost 2 in a row as well.
But this would be 3 wins in 4 games for the West Tigers, and I think they get up. All right, very nice work, MG. Always a pleasure. Next week, Magic Round.
Magic round. It's a kind of magic.
Enjoy your weekend of footy. We will see you then.
Adios.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.